Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I'm delighted you are with me here on the 11th day of April, 2021. And our subject today is going to be a little different. Where does it all end? And it seems that everywhere I go, everything I hear in the news, everything people are talking about is this whole idea that they can't deal with the pandemic, and they're sick and tired of being, shuttered in their homes and with their families. I was reading articles recently in the San Diego Union and in the San Francisco Chronicle, and they're talking about how people are escaping to different places. I have noticed here in Carmel, California, that we are just inundated with tourists. I mean, inundated. It's like horrible. You can't drive anywhere. Everywhere you go, there's someone standing there or driving in a cruddy way. Let me tell you, people do not know how to drive their cars, nor are they very bright. So the articles were talking about the marriages crumbling, going to the wineries to go get some vino to energize the relationship, according to what I've read here. That's the way they talk about wine, and hopefully being able to go to places that stimulate a little bit of romance, shall we say, in their relationship. Let's see, what was that? Oh, and then NPR had this very interesting little soliloquies on alcohol. It seems that alcoholism has jumped to higher levels than ever before, and that liver cancer and liver disease is now starting to bear its ugly head, believe me, it is, in people's bodies. And young women around the age of 24 to 36, somewhere in there, are most likely to be the ones drinking and having liver issues that will probably crop up in their 50s. And all of this and they're blaming the pandemic. But you see, I don't really think it's the pandemic at all. I think it's you find can't live with themselves. They don't know who they are. They don't care to know who they are. They never took care of their minds. They never took care of their life. It was just party, party, party. And that's what they thought, that life was about, having fun. So all of this being the the way of America, the greatest country on the planet, you know, we're going to take some questions. And these are very interesting. The first question comes from Tracy in Northern California. She says, where does life get easier after all of this pandemic? Don't you think we deserve to have an easier life? I think the government should do, and then she goes into a litany of things, but one of the things that she goes into that I thought was interesting and well put is that there shouldn't be any income tax. And I agree. I mean, I think income tax is a big joke, but anyway, there you are. Tracy, I don't know how old you are. I don't even know who you are. So I could be wrong about everything I'm about to say, okay? But it sounds to me like you're in your 20s. It sounds to me like you're the type of person that didn't think that they had to do anything with finding out who they are, any kind of self-discovery. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you did a lot of deep inner work. It didn't sound like it to me in your email, but you use a word deserve. We deserve. who is to say what we deserve? Who is to say what that's all about? What do you mean we deserve? Where is the effort? I mean, how does that happen? The deserving part, I don't get it. What do you mean we deserve? I don't really think it's a matter of deserving, and I don't know where people come up with this idea that this is a game, or this is some kind of honor system that we're in, where if you do the right thing, whatever that right thing is, and I don't know who dictates what's right, then you deserve to have something happen or something not happen. This is all very nebulous to my way of living and my way of thinking, so I don't truly get it. But here is the deal with it. You ask, when does life get easier? I don't know how old you are, but I would say, like I said here, you're in your 20s somewhere, and it isn't about life getting easier. It's when you will get easier. When are you going to get easier? There are two things you must understand, Tracy, about this world. There is your living, and then there's life. Life holds a great deal of, shall we say, principles and laws that we don't learn about, how things work. No one ever evidently taught you how life works or what life truly is, or do even to discover what life is. You sound like a person who was just thrown into the school system, and wish you luck and hope you get it all there, because your mother and I just don't know what the hell we're doing. So that's basically the attitude I betcha your parents had, but they'll tell you they love you and all that stuff. But the truth of the matter is, they had no idea how to parent a child or what was important for you to know as a child. So there is a part of your problem. But anyway, your living is based on the assumption of your childhood. And the assumption of a perfect childhood, which you may or may not have gotten, which would have denoted the idea that you got to do everything you wanted when you wanted it as you wanted it. And so with that all being said, you have a lot of assumptions about what your livingness is, and you have no idea about what your life is. Your life is many different things. One of them is the accumulation of your living, how you chose to live in this world, the way you chose to live in this world, with the development of just basic character. Character is an important aspect of a person's life. It's the qualities of what a person will do or won't do that usually turn into either ruthlessness or virtue. And most people live in the ruthlessness of their emotionality, and they have no virtue, no sense of virtue, no desire for virtue, no insight as to what virtue really is. So they just go on and on and on doing what they do, looking for the best party that they can find in the frat house of their life. And that's the way they live. So this was a time, this whole pandemic thing, showed the character of the American public in general. And it showed that we're crazy. You can't give people any sense of freedom. Not that we had it at all before the pandemic, but the whole idea of the way we lived in our hate, our fear, our anger, our boredom, and how we had no scrutiny at all to look inside of ourselves and take a look at what is my living, and how is my living accumulating in my life with all the repercussions and consequences, and do I not understand that what I do now, I will pay for 10, 15, 20 years down the road. Nobody really understands that. And so we put up these false narratives of deserving, and we think we understand how life is. Well, I didn't do this and I didn't do that, and I'm as good as this person. I'm not as bad as that person, and I deserve. And this kind of thing, I hear it all the time. I even hear it on the commercials. You deserve to go to Vegas, you know, that kind of thing. It, Tracy, you got to grow up. I don't say that to insult you, but I'm sure it did. But you've got to grow up. You've got to understand how this life works and what living is. Your living is becoming your life, and you don't like what you see. And alcohol, wine, and food, and whatever else, like these other people looking for romance and looking for something to tantalize and titillize your life back into your genetics and your emotionality, your sexuality, you're going to miss it all. You're really going to miss it all, because this world is about cultivating, at first, just basic character. And you're not doing that, and you're probably not interested in that, and you probably think I'm picking on you and all that other stuff that most people assume. But if I am wrong, I am wrong, and I apologize. But I don't think I am, based on what I've read in your email. So, sweetie, wake up. It's a new world here. And after this pandemic, which we will live with for the rest of our lives, one way or another, this is going to change a lot of people. There's a lot of suicides going on, and there is a lot of mischief with alcohol going on. And that is a real problem, a real issue all over the world, not just here in America, but all over the world. And marijuana, of course, you got to add into there, recreational. Boy, what your parents did, mine too. Don't think I had good parents, because I didn't. And I had to figure it out for myself, which took a long time. Be patient, Tracy, with yourself. And I know you're not going to probably go and seek self-examination, but one day in one lifetime or another, you will. And maybe something of what I said here will be a little tiny seed inside you to help that process along. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Foster in Central California. He says, everything changes so quickly in this world. How do I keep up with all of the changes that are happening in the world? The mores, the social status, culture canceling, and he went on in a few other things. And then he said, what do I do? How do I do it? Foster. Foster, I really don't think you have to keep up with anything in the world. I think understanding trends and how people think, the way they live, that kind of thing, very valuable. That's very good. But what you need to keep up with is what's going on within. What is the state of your emotions? What is the state of your inner being? What is the state of your livingness? How are you living? What is most important to you? Where do you live from inside yourself? Things like that. You need to discover and understand the state of your mind and what your mind is all about. Foster, one of the things I would look at is, what is the state of my mind? What is it subservient to? What does it serve? And I think you'll find it serves nothing more or nothing less than deep emotionality. And in that emotionality, you're going to find confusion, doubt, fear, all the things that make up what most of us call the way we think, our state of mind, our psychology. And with that, we miss. We miss everything that is substantial. We are subservient to our emotions, our fears, the state of our anger. We don't do very much with our life other than try to get through it and have as much fun as we possibly can, so we can ignore what we are doing to ourselves And that's as far as it goes for most people. And the sad aspect of this is, Foster, that many of us just simply, we do not question all of this. We are not here to get everything we want, Foster. Please understand that. Tracy is, I don't even think, cruising around that idea. But you're not here to have everything you want, and you're not here to keep up with the trends, the social trends. If this pandemic has shown us anything, I mean anything, it has shown us how mentally ill the American public is. And I mean mentally ill. Too much of this crazy TV stuff, too much Netflix, too much crazy violence, unnecessary on both TV and in the movies. The craziness button got hit many, many years ago, and we have gone way off the deep end. We're a mentally ill society. We fight among ourselves. We don't have any common sense. We argue over wearing a mask. We have no sense of compassion for our fellow man or for other people. We do what we want, when we want, as we want, because we're Americans. And all of this was triggered by one man. Yes, Donald Trump. He opened up the Pandora's box of American stupidity for his own gain, and people can't see it. They just refuse to see it because the idea of exorbitant wealth overcomes everything, every little nasty trait a person may have. We honor and want wealth, money, money, money over compassion, forgiveness, and love. There is nothing to keep up with here, Foster, in this society. We have a rotten society. It's just rotten to the core. Our politicians are rotten. We're learning that day after day, as if I didn't know, as if most people don't know. But a lot of people, the majority of people don't. They think it's just this whole idea that politicians are the highest branches on the tree of life is just absolutely ludicrous to me. I mean, you got to be mentally ill to think things like that. And most people are mentally ill and they don't know it. And the reason they don't is because we've all become narcissists. And we think that, oh, well, he's thinking of himself or she's thinking of herself only. I should do the same. You got to take care of yourself. And this is the whole premonition of Darwin's theory of evolution, the survival of the fittest, natural selection. It's all there. And if you don't understand any of this, you haven't educated yourself to understand this, you won't understand the bare minimum of what it means to live in this world. If you want to live in it, you know, bare knuckles. There is a way to transcend it, but people don't believe in that and they don't want anything to do with that. It's too much trouble. And not only that, but it would parallel and show them how, this is the Fonzie thing. You don't even know who Fonzie is, do you? Wrong. Everyone is. People have a hard time seeing how wrong they've been. I was reading an article in the Gate the other day. It was about this young lady who committed suicide, and she left a suicide note. And it was basically about a couple of things, but one of the major premises was she realized for a brief moment in her life that she was wrong, that she had assumed the stature of her life based on her friends and allowed her to make her feel like she said that she wasn't enough. And of course she ended it all. This is really where people are subject to their society, not to their hearts, not to their souls. They're living according to what their little particular society says. Counterculture, counter society is not considered ethical or even moral. What people think of as right is only what the vast number of people say is right. And it just goes on and on and on to nauseam. You're never going to keep up with the insanity of the American public. And I live in America, so I don't know what Europe is like, so I can't comment on that, but I'm pretty sure it's about the same. People are people no matter where you go. What is the answer? You don't want to know the answer. You don't want to know. You don't want to know the truth. You just don't want to know. So the truth of the matter is you're going to need to transcend this lifetime. It wasn't meant to be lived off of each other and the opinions of others. You've got to understand that. And since you're probably not going to understand that, here is where we are. I got to go. I'm late. Foster, thank you for your question. And ouch. And please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Stan in San Diego. He used to write a lot. I haven't heard from him in a long time. And now all of a sudden I'm getting emails by him. Greg, what is running our lives? I mean, really running our lives, Stan. The assumption of fear is running our lives. The assumption that there is something to always be afraid of in this lifetime, that is running the whole kit and caboodle. This assumption we have of not being loved, not being love, this assumption that it's dog eat dog. Dogs don't eat dogs. Where did we come up with that? Forgive me for even saying that. I am owned by a dog. I've been owned by every dog I've ever had, so I can't say that. But this idea that we always have to be in mortal combat with each other is absolutely, absurdly, not only wrong, but ridiculous. We assume all of our fears, and they come from our immature emotionality, and we allow these fears to gather and become the most important thing in our lives. That's what's going on. That's what's running our life. Everything is about fear. Now, the way most people look at it is if you have enough money, you have nothing to fear. But that's not true. It isn't about money, because people think, well, money lets me be whatever I want to be and I don't have to kowtow to other people and bow to their craziness. And, you know, that's not true either. None of this is true. This is all fiction, but we like to think it's not fiction, and that's the way we live our life. So if you assume great fear in your life, if you assume that this whole thing is a dangerous plot, this thing called life, then what you're really doing is living your assumptions. And if you think that this is just nothing but party, 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 that's an assumption also, and you're missing the whole thing as well. The object of the game, the object of everything in life, is to discover life. Here is the bottom line. If my living isn't leading me to my life, then I have missed the meaning of everything I've done in this world. And a lot of people just don't go there. They can't go to life. It's too hard. It's a concept that is beyond their mental comprehension and their acuity. So they have no acumen for awakening. They have no way of understanding it. They have no interest in it. They're just looking for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, whatever that is, to occupy them for the rest of their life. And that's all that matters to them, is being occupied for the rest of their life by the things that they think will make them happy that just simply do not exist. So there you are, Stan. and I got to get out of here. I hope you'll forgive me, Stan. I do. Namaste. I was a little testy today, but, you know, that's kind of a good thing. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back in the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.